Thank you very much. Hey, good afternoon. I would like to start with this reminder on what ant colonies are about. This is a slide containing two examples of stigmergy in humans. So one is this path which I tried to describe last time, and the other one is one of these maps where you don't need anymore a sign which tells you you are here, because it's pretty obvious where most people left their marks in the environment, in the sense, and this is helpful for other people as well. But this is not so much of an just a side remark. So we want to go on a little bit more with ant colony optimization, because we were not overly specific. And this is just to remind you, we will later become a little bit more detailed. The algorithm, yeah, so you have to paste together a number of partial solutions before you come up with an ant's representation of the solution. Then there might be some chance to apply some heuristics in or local heuristics, local search, in order to improve maybe the solutions found by the ants. And then you have to distribute again the quality of the solution to this representation of the environment by these metaphorical pheromones, and which helped later to construct better solutions. Obviously, what is missing here is some kind of an termination criterion which should occur in the end somewhere, and perhaps the number of loops could be made more explicit. So you need one loop over the life cycle of the over the cycles, one loop over all ants, and another loop over the steps of the solution, which usually consists of many separate parts. And last time we didn't really consider this bin packing problem, which I copied again in your slides, because one of the slides last time was somehow misplaced into this bit here. So it's now removed and should not cause any confusion, although it was not completely out of line. But now it's in a little bit more rational order here. So these bin packing problems are really studied by many people in as a test case for their particular algorithms, as well as also for practical reasons, yeah, because like in container ships, you need to make sure that you use the space. And it might be quite difficult to find a good solution, especially if you have maybe a large number of relatively large objects and you cannot really realize that all the bins are more or less filled up very easily. So this might be of some practical complexity, but we reduce it here to a very manageable outline. Also, the complexity of the problem just remains more or less the same. So you have a number of bins, each has the same capacity for simplicity C, and the idea is to put a number of items in as few such bins as possible. Now, so you have items with different characteristics, could be size or weight, and the idea is to use up as much as possible. So it's easy to get a lower bound. You just divide the. Sorry. Seems not to work. You just divide the number of of the total of the weight by the number of container by the size of the containers, and this gives you a lower bound for the number. So if all space was used, then you need at least L1 numbers. So the last line, as I see now, is not correct. So the slack is not so much this bit by the smallest integer by the ceiling operation here, but it should be more the number of bins which you have in a certain solution. Yeah? So this is your total capacity, and what is used by the items stored in these bins is subtracted from this, and this gives you the slack, so how inefficient you have been in packing. And this should be some of the evaluation criteria for the solution of the problem. So a standard way of doing it is outlined below here. So you just take all the items which you have, put them in a sequence according to their size or weight, and then, well, because the large ones usually cause most of the problems, so you put the large one inside the containers. You start with the first one, and then you search through the ordered sequence of weights until you find one which fits in the remaining part. So the first six wouldn't fit, of course, and so you take the three, and then you just continue, and then you search again. You don't find one with one, so you move to the next container, which repeats this. But obviously, here in this particular case, it's not really a good solution which you find in this way, because if you had in the first bin not this three but two twos, then you would have done with, and the same for the second bin, you would have done with three bins only. But in this case, yeah, it's not possible to cut this last remaining one into two halves. And so it's obvious that this kind of greedy strategy is not really optimal. And the question was whether this is a nice application for ant colonies to deal with. Well, so here below I gave a citation to an overview paper over, or maybe a comparison paper over a number of such algorithms, which gave this as a motivating example. So they do a lot of more interesting things in this paper. And so one of the landmarks in the development of ant colony algorithm was this ant bin project, where Levine and Ducatel reformulated the algorithm in such a way that you really can come up with solutions which compete with the best classical solutions in a very favorable way, at least for certain types of packing problems, as we will see in a minute. So it's not so we have been discussing last time this traveling salesman project, a problem where you have ants in a very intuitive way walking from one city to the other one. And here it's maybe not as clear how to reformulate the problem into an ant-style version. And some other questions occur, of course, again, that need to be answered for any application of this algorithm. So the question is, does it really make sense to have this kind of stochastic search? Or what should be really the pheromone matrix, where you have like two index quantities, ij, what should it mean actually here in this case? And is there any chance to maybe use these kind of simple greedy approaches in order to locally improve any of the solutions found by the ants? So in the TSP, for example, it was clearly an ordering problem. So one out of these n factorial paths should be identified. And here it's not so clear, because whatever packing you use, if you just exchange two of the cities or items here in this case, then it's still a valid solution, which has exactly the same quality. And so in this sense, it's not so clear. So one possibility would be to set up some favorability of a certain, which would be encoded by the pheromones, of a certain pair of indices by asking whether it's good to have two bins, one of size I and one of size j, in the in the same two items in the same bin, which might be possible, but it's not really easy because it doesn't really tell what else joins the two in the bin, and so it might not be able really to identify a solution of this type. Maybe it's a better way to use instead a kind of packing patterns. So to say that if we put a certain item J into a bin B, then this leaves some kind of a pheromone trail between B and J. So the path of the ant is now not really like a continuous path in like in a real ant, but it's metaphorical as description becomes more obvious. In the sense that we have just a number of pieces or links between bins and items of a certain size. And this is what the ANT algorithm improves or tries to establish in this probability rule, which is now a mapping, so to say, from bins to items J. So we have again these two terms. One is a more global accumulating probability, which decides what pieces of the solution the ants add to their partial solution. And in addition, we have also these heuristics, which here in this case would be probably the most easy way be chosen as the weight or size of a certain item. So the larger the item, the better, basically. And again, we have these two parameters, alpha and beta here, which are, as we will see later, there's not too much choice for them. Yeah? Usually alpha 1, beta 2 is a good way to start with. For the pheromone update, well, we just take the same rule as we had previously. Although there was this discussion whether it's really necessary that each ant leaves its trace. And this is a little bit counterintuitive, yeah, because I mentioned a number of times that what is most important in all of these algorithms is to maintain some diversity. Yeah. It's probably very easy to get stuck with a suboptimal solution. But here, it was just from the numerical experience, it was suggested to work mainly just with best ant. Yeah? So there, of course, there is possibility also to do it for each ant in proportion to its success. But as soon as all the ants are quite successful, yeah, or if the solutions are not very much different, then this pheromone matrix is probably quite inhabited everywhere, and so it doesn't really single out any better solution as compared to the worst one. So there are two possibilities to deal with this. Either you take a different exponent in the probability rules, which simply implies that the differences between different pheromone strengths are enhanced. Or the other possibility is to put more weight on using the best ant either chosen inside an iteration or maybe the best of all that have been seen so far in all the cycles of the algorithm. So that here in this case, there is only the best was used and this apparently led to the best results. So somehow diversity in ant colonies is not such a diversity among the solutions is not such a big issue, but this applies only, let's say, to the local area. So the ants have always some chance by this kind of probability to move to a different or slightly different path, but they are unlikely really if they are somehow made up their pheromone trace in some way. Unlikely to go to really completely different places. So it's not really happening easily that the ants are really trapped to a single task, but they might might get trapped to a particular part of the solution space, and in this way they could fail to develop any further. If you had a chance to search a little bit for ANT algorithms on the internet, then probably you have seen these simulations which you can run on screen. And in these simulations where the idea is simply that an ANT starts in one corner and should arrive at the other one, then often if you are not really playing with the parameters for a long time, the ANTs are trapped in one part and will never get away from where they started from. Yeah, because where they are, they leave their pheromone and they at some point they stop completely to go to any other place. For the best ANT, in order for them to give some information to this pheromone matrix, it's probably a good idea to use again some way of the slack again. So how by the particular solution represented by this ANT, how much space was unused in the number of containers that have been used here. And on the other hand, maybe it's a good idea to take a square here as well, which also enhances the impact of large items that they are dealt with first, in a very similar style as this FD strategy, which I mentioned in the beginning, but more probabilistically, such that it's maybe unlikely that you get stuck at such particular failure. For the local search, on the other hand, it's still a good idea to imply such a possibility that a few of these bins are selected even after the ANT has done their round and provided some rating. It's maybe a good idea to improve. And this could be done by some kind of classical strategies, which is actually very easy. You take maybe three of the bins which have still most of the space in it, take everything out and try simply all other spaces, whether you can fit some other stuff in. And just in the same way, like first fit decreasing strategy, start with the largest one and continue through the sequence of all the items that are freed from these least used bins. So this is a very deterministic and not really globally successful rule. But in addition with this very probabilistic and maybe not so much optimized ANT algorithm, guys, that lacks in a sense the killer instinct, this helps very much to get close to the good solution. So parameters here, just to get an idea what are typical parameters. In addition to this beta, the alpha was set to equal to 1. The number of ANTs is actually quite small. In a genetic algorithm, you would never get anywhere with such a small number of individuals. But here, it's already sufficient in order to explore a number of possible passes or possible assignments of items to bins. And in this way, it's not necessary to use more ANTs. If you were using more, then you have again the chance that the probability matrix becomes quite flat and is not efficient in guiding the solutions to particular promising areas. What is also included here, in order to prevent this stop of the exploration on the large scale, is that there is some kind of minimal lower limit for the pheromone level, so also pheromone decays all the time. This decay is meant to stop at a small rate, such that there is always some possibility that one or the other ANT at some time at least can leave the presently conquered area. So it takes some time, maybe 50,000 generations, which is not really much if you consider the small number of ANTs which is used here. And if you now compare this to some kind of more classical results, at least in most cases it seems quite favorable. So you have a number of different types of problems which are specified by the relation of the sizes of the items with the size of the container or how many there are and so on. And so the idea is how many of these problems are solved optimally. And so you see that Arndt-Bin in the very last column does this quite well, except for this triplet case in the second line, where it's more or less not only, where it's just failing, maybe apparently randomly, sometimes achieving a good result, but it's somehow a problem why otherwise it's very competitive with other algorithms, or even better, but here it's completely gone wrong. So this triplet data set consisted of boxes, a large number of boxes, and what you have to find is really three boxes that exactly, or it's designed such that there are always three boxes which exactly fill in container, and you really need to find the triple of these three boxes in order to arrive at the optimal solution. And also Arndt-Bin probably does quite good solutions in many cases. This kind of very specific picking out of a single solution in a large space apparently doesn't always work, even together with this local heuristic, but because the local heuristic is also not too clever, it doesn't help in these cases. Whereas in other data sets where there are maybe a number of possible solutions, and they are a little bit more smooth in the sense that by a few local search steps you can approach them from a large number of other states rather than having them quite isolated somewhere, then it works quite well. So that's more or less what we had about this Arndt-Bin algorithm. Essentially, just another variant of the traveling salesperson problem, but simply instead of this kind of intuitive path formation in the by the natural ants or by some kind of artificial ants, and here it's more like an assignment where this metaphor becomes less and less obvious. So these are the steps which you always have to go through. So this was here maybe the main step, and whatever you need as a heuristics or constraints, which in the case of the traveling salesperson problem, they're mainly implied by the taboo list of cities which already have been visited. Here, of course, the constraints are simply implied by the capacities of the bins that if there's a high probability or of putting another item in a certain bin which is already full, then this is a solution which either can be edited or needs to be removed. But editing is here quite easier because you just take another container and put the not fitting items in this new container. So, for example, this heuristic improvement here in the third point is just another local heuristics for the traveling salesperson problem, that at some point this path which was formed by a particular ant is cut in three pieces, and then you try all possible reconnections of this path in order to possibly find a better one, which at least in the early stages of the algorithm works quite well, but also sometimes helps near the optimum. But something like this is obviously not really Arndt-style anymore, and so we have to maybe agree with Doriccio that it's somehow of a parallel search which is guided by accumulated information, but has in the course of the adaptation to a particular type of problem lost its biological inspiration in a sense, which is not really something we should worry about. This is just the way how this inspiration from biology can be used and can be carried over to alternative algorithms. This is some problem overview for a more realistic a project where some team of researchers mentioned down here really convinced the company to apply such an algorithm for their daily work. And so it's about some delivery of a number of goods. So you have what is the main problem is that all the time while you are maybe when you are already happy to have a certain plan for deliveries and some other urgent deliveries with well-defined time windows for the delivery arrive and have to be integrated in what is there already. And you can either reject such or you can maybe try to use your algorithm in order to adapt towards these new requirements which just have changed and which hopefully might not be too far from what you have done before, but in some cases it's possible easily to find a solution which is very similar. So you have this kind of dynamic problem, and it might be a problem to really, in this case, to deal with all the constraints which are there. So it's not really an easy job. Human operators can do this, but more complex planning systems are usually not that flexible to react in a way to these all the time changing conditions and changing requirements of a live company. So what they have had here was a data set over 20 days, so there's quite a number of customers and pallets which have to be distributed in the city. And so what you find is that there is a strong dependence, as you can expect already, from the, let's say it's like the container size in the previous part. Here in this case it's the time windows, such that if you don't have any constraint like in the last bit here, then you get a very good result. But otherwise, for a reasonable realistic time window of an hour, then you get values which are much less than what this human operator who has a lot of experience can achieve in this case. Okay, so I think this is more or less what you can do with uncoherently algorithms, and what I would like to do now is to have some kind of an overview of a certain algorithmic specifications of the algorithm, and after this we should move to some theoretical descriptions of the algorithm, maybe in a similar way as we did already for the genetic algorithm. So here's just a more detailed plan of what you are supposed to do in the uncolony algorithm. I don't think I have to go through this now. It's just here to have at one point this full algorithm as it is there already. But these more mathematical representations are perhaps a little bit more helpful to point to certain specificities of the during the development of the ANT system. So there was in the beginning this ANT system algorithm by Duriccio himself, and he suggested what we were talking about already, that there is this pheromone trails formed by the combined action of all ANTs up here, and on the other hand we have this probability rule, which is some combination. So this beta obviously should be one step up here, if you can see this over there, which just combines pheromone traces and the local heuristics. So there are these graphs which connect either maybe the stations of a certain path, or maybe one object on one side to another object on the other side, and the partial solution of the Arndt with an it's denoted by P, but it's the K is the counter here. This tells for what part of the path of the Arndt what transition or what graph edge is to be used. So this was the original formulation, and then the, or is this really, is it readable in any way? Probably on your paper it is. There were some modifications suggested by people. So one of the major change was very similar to what we had in genetic algorithm between the Turnerman selection and the roulette wheel selection types, that this proportionality rule replaces probability rule. So in this sense, you just look for the maximum and follow the maximum in the same sense as the roulette wheel granted some of the individual sure survival if they were good enough. But of course, it may be also important to leave some margin of randomness by this additional parameter Q, which tells that at least with probability 1 minus Q, you should use it in the way of the probability, but otherwise just take only the most likely path. So this helps a little bit to, if you have a longer path, then there is by this probability rule a possibility to move away from this path at each step of the partial solutions. And this probably would never really lead an Arndt through the full solutions. And that's why if you take often the best step, then you explore only at some parts of the solution in a very similar way, like this recombination algorithm just cut, so to say, the genome at some places but keep it intact in other ones. So in the same way, you use here the maximum rule in many places and allow for some kind of random cuts only in a few of these. And the other modification was that, as I mentioned before already, that only the best Arndt was used to lay down the pheromone trace, which requires that you have some other possibilities to increase randomness. So by playing with this factor Q and to monitor the system, obviously, that it's not really just following the best Arndt. So finally, it was more or less like the third attempt at this formulation of the algorithms, and everything was together to this min-max Arndt system. So min-max is not really referring to an optimization procedure included here, but just specifies some conditions which are made for the pheromone trail. So it's we have seen already in the example that it's maybe a good idea to keep some kind of a minimal pheromone level. So not too early to exclude some of the options that an Arndt has. But it's also a good idea to have this maximum level, which is not so much a problem that pheromone strengths can be larger than this, although this is avoided here. But that you start with a high pheromone level everywhere. So it's not so much of an importance that an Arndt has to have discovered already the optimal solution or be has to have been very close to this before other Arndts can follow. Yeah, because in this sense, maybe it might possibly never happen. But you just put everywhere a lot of pheromones such that they can move everywhere and cover the full solution space. And of course, if something is not really worth it and the local heuristics is suggesting the opposite, then the ants will probably leave, and in some places pheromones will just decay and evaporate, and in this way they will not keep the ants always in this kind of diverse state. But this was suggested as an remedy against this often cited exploitation dilemma. So in the sense that either you explore a lot and you cover a lot of space at the same time, but then it's maybe hard really to lock into a good solution, or you go just greedily for the good solution and then maybe you miss a better one, which is not too far away anyway. But in this case, at least what concerns the initial phase of the algorithm, you still have a very good exploration. Although on the other hand, of course, if after a number of steps all the highly started pheromones levels have decayed, then maybe it's not really necessary to, you cannot really require that it's still an example against this exploration dilemma. But it's at least good for the start, and it's also used in a lot of other learning algorithms like reinforcement learning in order to improve the ratio between, or the relation between exploration and exploitation. Here again, like in the previous version, you are mainly working so both with a pseudo-random proportionality rule, again with this additional factor Q, and then you also say that you only use the best ant for the pheromone update in the first line up there. So it seems to be like a strong case of elitism, but because the ants are not really a single string, but by this randomness induced by the probability rule cover a number of mutations, so to say, each time, it's more like an emphasis or a certain guidance or fitness function which other ants can follow. So in this case, it's really a different type of description than the genetic algorithms suggested. But then, of course, there were a lot of other possibilities suggested. But what the only version which we will look at is not so much a computationally efficient version, but is this hypercube framework, which is very helpful for understanding the function and to do something like a convergence proof of the ant colony system. And so in this sense, it's worth to take this other reformulation also for practical purposes. This min-max ant system is probably perfectly suited. So this gives some idea what you should expect if you run such an algorithm. So if you have a problem which is likely to have a tour length in this range of 400 or something, then probably you will observe something like this, that you start with a slightly higher version here, and after some steps maybe you are very close, and then you see for a long time no further improvement, which should encourage you either to restart or to check your population. And this has been tried here. So what you see here is that the standard deviation of the different tours by the ants in the population is still quite high. It doesn't really decay to zero. So in the sense, you can be sure that the ants still explore a lot of other tours, but perhaps either the search space is really very large and you are in a not improvable local maximum or minimum in this case, or it's really a good place to be and there's no ant which, although there's a lot of exploration going on and a lot of other tours are tested, which can surpass this particular value. It's maybe also a good idea to check a little bit. So this, all these simulations are for the traveling salesperson problem, to check what the ants are producing, how the pheromone matrix looks like. And so what you see is here that although the best tour length didn't really change, you see some kind of important changes in the pheromone matrix. So along this graph, only in an increasing fashion, links are deleted, and so you can see by this by considering, for example, the node branching. So in the beginning, if you have maybe 30 cities here, then of course everything is connected to everything. But after a short time, simply because some links are very long and are excluded already by the local heuristics, after a short time you arrive at slightly smaller node branchings. So from one node, maybe only approximately 10, and decreasingly fewer. And a decreasing number later on of other nodes is reachable. Huh? And so this was for one particular parameter. So here you see that if you have 10 possibilities to go through, then you probably can still try all passes, and you just have reduced the problem search space by a number of completely unlikely options, and you take time really before you converge to a final set, which is here in this case by 5. If you have slightly different parameters that with by higher values for A in this case, you exaggerate, so to say, the importance of the pheromone trace for the decisions of the ants, then what happens is that you very quickly go to just a single solution. Yeah, if you have a node branching of 2, that means each node has an entry link and an exit link. And so it's the population is frozen by this time, and probably no further exploration would ever occur again. So this has been tested a little bit more systematically and reveals what one might expect with respect to these parameters alpha and beta, which decorate the probability rule, in the sense that so for example, if you choose beta equal to 0. This corresponds to this case of taking no local heuristics into account, and either you get nothing or you get stuck so it never converges, or you get quickly stuck at a solution which is not really interesting. But obviously you cannot find any particular solutions if you don't take into account any of the properties of this of the problem space at all. So this is not really a good idea to go here. But what we see is that otherwise it doesn't really matter what kind of beta you take, because it's quite obvious that long passes are not good and the smaller are better. And so if there is not really a deception in the problem, then this is it's not so critical how to introduce this local heuristic. So it's mainly important what probabilities the pheromone trace contributes, like the prior probability, so to say, contributes to the probability rule. So here it's just a narrow window, which essentially implies that you should take one. I'm not sure about this point up here, which could also allow for a value of 1/2, taking as the square root of the probability. Which somehow softens a little bit the attractivity, perhaps in order to compensate the harsh requirements by the local heuristics. So in this sense, this general choice of B equal 2 and alpha equal to 1 is probably justified. Of course, this is just for a single example here and could be very different for a different type of problem. This is just another question with respect to the negative. You don't have to read this. It was just funny to see that although in ant colony algorithms, the negative pheromones are not really used. Also, for example, in an genetic algorithms, you can have all kinds of positive or negative fitnesses. But the real ants apparently use all the negative pheromones just to indicate to their fellows that in particular passes there is no chance to find any food anymore. But I'm not sure whether this has really turned out to be successful in the context of the ant colony algorithms. So there are some theoretical questions which are probably interesting. So we have been discussing about hitchhikers in genetic algorithms, and here in this context it might be also worth to have some idea what could go wrong in the application of the algorithm. And so there are essentially these search biases, and maybe we still have time to look at one or two of the examples, and next time maybe we have a chance to look at this hypercube framework, which corresponds in some sense also the hypercube framework for the genetic algorithms. So a search bias means simply that the ants are supposed, or we hope that the ants are covering the search space evenly and concentrate very quickly to those regions which are promising, but often this is not really achieved, and I think we rather have a look to one of the examples in the maybe let's have a look at this one first. So this is most obvious if you have only a small number of ants, because this kind of inherent probabilistic formulation of the algorithm, the number of ants is always kept at a quite low level. 25 is maybe a good size. But if you just have a single ant, then what you arrive at usually is simply that the ant produces once a pheromone trail and then it follows it. There is no possibility of exploring other things and being in this way better, unless of course you take one of the versions of this min-max, for example, where you make sure that there is also pheromone elsewhere, then probably you could do with a single ant, but it might still induce this pheromone accumulation in some place in the later stages of the algorithm, because there is no possibility of having two options or several options with the same level of pheromone valid or open to the ants later on. So a single ant will always have this kind of instability. If it does a certain behavior, then it tends to do this behavior more often until finally it can follow the single behavior and will not do anything else. But if you have a number of ants, then by slight alterations, both or several groups of ants can make it to the competition. So even if you have a best ant selection scheme for your pheromone update, then it's still possible that the population or the solution will switch to a different type of configuration of the partial solutions. So this reflects a little bit the case of crossover or recombinations in the genetic algorithms. So if you have only a single ant, then there is no chance to accumulate building blocks, or in this case to combine or compose partial solution from different ants, and the algorithm will soon get stuck in a local minimum, or at least take much longer to the global optimum. Another possibility might be implied by the formulation of the task. So what we have here is a very trivial example. So you have just a linear graph, and the task is simply to select the two weights, or the two out of four, so to say, the two connections between ones which carry least weight. So this is something which is probably easily done by an ant colony algorithm. So what you do is you start here in this tree with the empty set, and then you have different ants. So one ant might like to add the first E1 here, and some other ant would like to add this one, or the third or fourth. Then because we just consider here the k equal 2 case, they add another one. So there are six possible ways of choosing one of the connections here. And the full solution, if you would like to see this, means we have select two and deselect the other two. And now after this, we can just distribute the fitness values. So all of them are valid solutions, all have two ones and two zeros as exponents here written to these small variables. And for example, if the fitness values or the tour length, so to say, were such that for these, were such that the weights are either one or two, that you would arrive at three for the two outer ones, and yeah, because these two inner ones are more heavy, so these solutions which contain two of the inner ones are worse than the ones which contain also an outer one. But so that's just circumstantial information here. But what you find is that these links here up here, yeah, they are traveled through by twice as many ants, yeah, because there are those moving here and those moving there. And so this link, although it does lead to not a good solution to one of this, or the same also for this link, will get more pheromone, and the outer routes, which could be, yeah, if there's a slight change in the problem, could be really very good, are probably very soon neglected. So this is some kind of unfair competition, yeah, by having an ally, like the two middle branches here, having an ally that helps to attract the ants. It could happen that a completely distorted picture of the problem is visible to the ants, and in such cases it's maybe hard to find a good solution. Here are some more